Remember that deodorant commercial that said, raise your hands? Well, you're not going to see it happening today. Throughout the last sermon that I offered, and this one and one more in the future, is one, are a series that I'm trying to offer you as a way of helping us to make sense of our beliefs, asking questions. Why do we believe certain ways? And the last sermon, we talked about the Trinity and how it can be rather confusing, and in fact was intended to be confusing. And we'll try and make sense of that as we go along. But one element of the Trinity that was confusing and that remains confusing is the concept of Christ as co-eternal with God. And basically what the Trinity is saying is that the second element, that element that we refer to as the Word, is co-eternal with God. The Word cannot exist separate of God. And when we confuse that Word or make that Word synonymous with Jesus, that's when it becomes somewhat confusing. But let's dwell upon this concept. Why do we follow God? Is it because we believe God is all-powerful, the all-powerful creator and ruler of the universe? Well, suppose God's power and rule were based on brute force, in which you either did what God said or suffered the consequences, even die. Would you still worship God? Why should we trust God and affirm with the psalmist that the Lord is my shepherd? On this Saturday before Memorial Day Monday, you may find it odd that I'm reminded of a classic Christmas movie. Of course, in this weather, that wouldn't be too odd. But I'm reminded of a classic Christmas movie called White Christmas, starring Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, who play a couple of World War II soldiers who later become popular entertainers that never forget their unwavering devotion to their infantry commander, General Tom Waverly, played by Dean Jagger, who after the war becomes a Vermont innkeeper. As a tribute to their trust, they create a military marching tune in his behalf. We'll follow the old man wherever he wants to go, long as he wants to go, opposite to the foe. We'll stay with the old man wherever he wants to stay, long as he stays away from the battle's fray. Because we love him, especially when he keeps us on the ball. And we'll tell the kiddies we answer to his call. He's the grandest son of a soldier of them all. Well, we Christians also create songs celebrating our trust and our love in God as our leader, because we believe that God is faithful and will never betray our trust, even though we have countlessly betrayed God's trust in us. But what is it about God that we trust? John's gospel begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, this is John's way of saying that we cannot separate or distinguish God from God's Word. And here I'm not referring to Christ, who is commonly regarded as God's Word in the flesh, but rather I'm referring to the principle of being that makes God godly. It is the same principle that gives us integrity as human beings, the principle of being true to our word. The Bible speaks of God, of God's word, and God's promise synonymously. and as co-eternal with God. One might debate whether God's promise can be without beginning or end, since a promise implies relationship between two individuals, with God being the divine subject from whom the promise proceeds, and humanity as the created object to whom the promise is given. Promise stems from the Latin word promettere, which means to send forth. One might therefore conclude that a promise cannot occur until the created, namely human object, exists, so that the promise can be sent forth toward its fulfillment. Now let's explore this supposition. Hang with me here for a few more minutes. We often use promise and word interchangeably. For instance, when I give you my promise, when I give you my word, then I promise that I will do, that I will do as I say. My promise is my word, and my word is my bond. I have pledged to go forth and fulfill my word. Furthermore, if you are a person who lives by your word, then you are seen as a person of integrity. Integrity, by definition, is a firm adherence to a code or standard of values. Integrity is the state of being whole or undivided. In other words, integrity is the ability to uphold the promise one makes to govern his or her life according to a code of conduct. Understood in this sense, a promise may be co-eternal with God if God's promise is the integrity by which God is God. Faith begins with faith in oneself. God's word and promise must be proven and undividedly synonymous with God, with God's self. God must be faithful to what God is and what God says. The advice of Polonius to his son Laertes in Shakespeare's Hamlet is applicable to God as well. This above all, to thine own self be true. This brings us to the passage of Scripture today. Moses assumed the unenviable position of reminding God of a sacred oath God did not want to hear, a promise God made to Abraham and his descendants, that his descendants would be as a blessing to all nations and number as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the shore. It was a promise further envisioned by the prophet Isaiah, where no one would hurt or destroy one another anymore, where a nation would no longer lift up sword against nation and study war anymore. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, said the prophet Isaiah. But that promise could not be fulfilled if God wiped out the descendants of Abraham from the face of the earth. And we are told that upon remembering this promise, God repented of the evil God had planned to do. We too need to remember, against our weaker impulses, that God's word, God's integrity, is based not on fear, intimidation, or bullying tactics. God is not a dictator, and our trust in God must not be coerced. God's likeness has been imprinted upon our soul, and we therefore trust God because God's word and integrity convey a promise we too wish to fulfill, a vision we also wish to realize, a sacrifice we likewise are willing to make. And we trust that God's word is God. And trusting that this is so, we might rephrase the earlier tune with apologies to Irving Berlin. We'll follow the Lord God wherever God wants to go, even if we go straight into the foe. We'll follow the Lord God wherever God wants to stay, even if we stay in the battle's fray. Because we love God, we love God, especially when God keeps us on the ball. And we'll tell the kiddies we answer to God's call of the greatest Lord and the Shepherd of us all. That's enough of that. Amen.